So just thank you for being here today. Amen. Thank you, praise team. Thank you for just your worship. Thank you, Larry, for ministering, and thank you for everything. Thank you for ushers for ushering. Whatever you do in the name of the Lord, I just thank you for participating in this worship. I hear noise. I'm trying to wait for them to come. But anyway, we can move forward at least with the scripture. This is the scripture where Bobby and I left off last week. And so I want to talk a little bit more about it. And the scripture comes from the book of Romans, very familiar passage of scripture, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2, if you could turn there, you may not even have to, because most of us who are in our word, we know it by heart. Talks about personal responsibility for being a believer. What is our personal responsibility? So as you stand to your feet when you found it, we will go ahead and read the scriptures. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. That's Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. And it reads like this. Therefore, I urge you, brother, you can read along with me. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this wonderful day. We thank you, God, for all the events of today, but we especially thank you for the highlight of the day, which is one has been saved. God, we thank you for Bobby, and thank you for his commitment, his profession of faith. Lord, we just continue to pray for him as he goes forward in your name. Lord, we know that there's a lot of things that you're going to do in his life, and God, this is not the most easy way, but it is absolutely the best way. And so, God, we thank you for what you're doing in the entire congregation. We thank you for his family who's here to just surround him and encourage him. We pray, God, that you would bless this sermon today. Bless the message today. Lord, that we would all be encouraged to go forward and to be transformed and renewed in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Okay. So the verses, here he comes. Let's give him a hand as he comes. Give God praise as he comes. Amen. Bobby, we're in those verses that we left off with in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Okay? Romans 12, 1 and 2. We just read them. So, the verses today are a turning point in the book of Romans. So I'm just going to just go through a little bit of an introduction to the book. Not too long, but just take you where Paul took the Roman church when he wrote the letter and bring us up to Romans 12. So in Romans 1, the Apostle Paul is saying that based on our display of the unthankful and really disgusting behavior before a benevolent creator and gracious creator who created us to experience good things, we all fall short of the glory of God. So that's from Romans 1 to Romans 3:23. He says that because we're so unthankful that we fell into stuff. And in Romans 1, he really is explicit about some of the things that we fell into. But then he says in Romans 5, he says, but God loved us anyway. He loved us and demonstrated that love for us in that while we were sinning, what? Christ died for us. He came to do what we couldn't do on our own. He came to save us, because we could never save ourselves. Then he says in Romans 6 that he made a way for us to spend eternity with him. So in Romans 6:23, he says this, what? We all know this verse. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And he begins to explain this process of deliverance because some believers started to think that because they were saved, they could live a life of sin and get more favor from God. So because they would say, well, I'm forgiven, so I can do whatever I want to do, Paul says, certainly not. That is not what that's not how this works. So he said that they had a wrong view of God. Have you ever known anyone with a wrong view of God? That they claim to serve the same God that you serve, but just a wrong view, because you can see it in the life that they live. But they would never want to hear the truth. They want to continue to live the same life that they've been living. But our Bible, what I read, is all about transformation and renewal. I don't know what everybody else has been reading, but it's about transformation and renewal of the mind. It's about living a different life and being a different person. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. And then in Romans 7, the Apostle Paul admits, this life is not easy. It is just not easy. He's like, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things that I don't want to do, I do. But at the end of that chapter, he says what? Thanks be to God for Jesus Christ, because he gives me the power to do what? Everything that I need to do. But I have to do it in his power. I can't do it in my own strength. That's Romans chapter 7. So he admits the life is difficult, but he thanks God for the power of Jesus Christ. So without this resurrection power of Jesus, there could be no life in God. Then in Romans 8, he says what? The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. He says we need to live a life in the spirit. And then he deviates a little, seemingly, because in 9 through 11, because he says, I'm grieved. I'm really grieved because my own people don't want to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. The Jews who God blessed all throughout Old Testament and ancient times, they rejected Jesus as Messiah. And he was grieved about that. But he was still encouraged, because he's like, you know what? God still has a plan. Even though they're blinded for a time, God still has a plan. And guess what? He's going to use the Gentiles to do it. So he says, you know what? You all are grafted in now. You all participate in this covenant with the Jews. But remember, they're still going to participate. They're just a little delayed in their reaction. And but three chapters, he deals with that. And it just expresses his concern and his grief for his own people. And you know, sometimes even us, with our own families, we're grieved by our own families who don't participate in the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, as much as you want them to see and as much as you want their eyes to be open, what can we do except to pray for them and to hope that somehow they'll heed the call of Christ in their life? But we just have to continue to pray and do the disciplines that we do. We pray, we have faith, we trust, we fast, we do those things. We continue to speak truth, all of those things, hoping that one day eyes will be opened. And so the Apostle Paul ends that with a doxology, which is this closing prayer, if you will. He says, oh, the depths, the riches of the riches and the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. I think what he's saying there is, I don't understand. I don't understand. But I give all glory to God, because I know that he is a good, good God. He's a good God. And even though I can't do anything about it in my own strength, God, you have it all together. I'm just not privy to your plan, because there's nobody who can counsel you on timing and when things happen. Amen? Nobody could counsel on when things happen. God has to do it in his own time. And so in our verses here, we say that Paul says that, well, in 11, let's end it up, because he says here that God is going to save the Jews one day. He said, but you Gentiles continue to spread the gospel in spite of their disobedience. So my first point is a living sacrifice. We're not going to make this too difficult. A living sacrifice. That's what it says in Romans 12:1. In her book, Living Beyond Yourself, and it's from 1998, Exploring the Fruit of the Spirit, author and speaker Beth Moore recalls a particularly insightful moment in her life. She says this, I will never forget watching an evening talk show featuring the story of the parents and killer of a young college student. She says the killer was his best friend. The weapon was high alcohol content in a speeding automobile. What made this particular feature primetime viewing? The parents had forgiven the young driver. And if that were not enough, they had taken him in as their own. The young man sat at the table in the chair which was once occupied by their only son. He slept in the son's bed. He worked with the victim's father, teaching seminars on safety. He shared their fortune and supported their causes. He spoke about the one he had slain in ways only someone who knew him intimately could have. Why did these parents do such a thing? Because it gave them peace. The interviewer was amazed. I was amazed. I kept trying to put myself in the parents' position, but I could not. She said, then as the tears streamed down my cheeks, I heard the Spirit of God whisper to my heart and say, no wonder you cannot relate. You have put yourself in the wrong position. You, my child, are the driver. God was the parent who not only forgave, but invited me to sit at his table in the space my Savior left for me. As a result, I have peace. We were those drunk drivers one day, wrecking our lives and the lives of others. But God has invited us. He's invited you to sit at the table. And you have accepted his invitation. The table has been properly set. And now you're expected to learn how to handle what's placed before you. Why? Out of thankfulness for what God has done for you. He has forgiven you and not let you die in your sin. What more could we ask for? Jesus came and bore your sin on the cross, and now your name is written in Jesus' book of life. Once you were on a path to destruction, and now you're on a path to life and peace forever. So because we've been forgiven, we have to live a life of thankfulness that we are forgiven. And that life looks a certain way. So finally in Romans 12, after we get through Romans 1 through 11, that therefore is a critical point. Because what it means is, in light of everything I've shared with you, in light of all that I have talked to you about sin and Christ coming and about his love and about living a life in the Spirit, now, I want you to do something. I want you to present your body as a living sacrifice, and as opposed to a dead sacrifice. I want you to live in a certain way. And so, what was the Apostle Paul really talking about when he's talking about a living sacrifice? So, you know, a lot of us know that in ancient Israel, they sacrificed animals, didn't they? They sacrificed animals for sin. And so, among other things, but that was one major reason to sacrifice animals. They sacrificed because of their own sin. But it was temporary, because they had to sacrifice animals all the time. All the time they had to place animals on the altar, but it was very temporary. So you were always having to do that over and over and over again for your sin. But it wasn't just an act. It wasn't just something, okay, well, I got to sacrifice today. Let me cut up an animal, you know, take the firstborn, no blemishes, the perfect one. Let's take it to the altar. Let's cut it up. No. The forgiveness of sin always had to happen in the heart first. Or let's say this, the sorrowfulness for the sin happened in the heart first. So the sacrifice, anybody can go sacrifice, can't they? Anybody can come up here to the altar and pray, can't they? Anybody can just say the words, right? Anybody can say, well, I want to be baptized, but really, has there been a heart change? Are you really sorry for the sin that you've committed over that time? So it's the same thing as it was in Israel, but now Jesus then is what? He's the permanent, perfect sacrifice. So we don't have to sacrifice animals anymore because he became that perfect sacrifice on the cross. And so what God desires for us to do is to come before his throne with sorrowful, with repentance, with understanding that he wants to bless our lives, that he wants to move us forward. But we have to come right. Maybe that's the word. We have to come right. Yes, we have been made righteous, but just because we're in a certain position of righteousness doesn't mean that we don't have to come before God and develop that relationship of being right in our hearts before him. So God wants to deal with all the stuff that we've been doing for years and years and years. He wants to work those things out. You know, we had talked about trusting a few weeks ago and God straightening out the crooked paths. God wants to straighten out the crooked paths of life. So, a living sacrifice means that in that bringing of ourselves to the altar, that we want to allow God. Now, when they brought the sacrifices, you know, it was pretty bloody and pretty nasty. But I think it was just the reminder of the sin that was, they were supposed to be reminded of how gross sin is. And so they would cut up the pieces that were sacrificed to God. I think God wants to bring us the same way, that he wants to cut some stuff. He wants some stuff to be sacrificed that we've been doing. He wants us to really be thinking about who we are and about what kinds of things need to change in our lives. And so then we're going to progress to being holy and pleasing to God. Being holy and pleasing. So he says a living sacrifice and then living holy and pleasing. And so that moves us right into then, when we come to the altar, when we come before him, we have to have a desire to be holy and pleasing. I can't tell you how many times people come to the altar over and over again with the same stuff, years and years and years of the same issues, the same prayers all the time. God, deliver me. But not willing to let God into that space, not willing to let God cut into that space and to prune it and to move it and to tweak it and to do whatever he needs to do. Amen? So, as we learn about God, and Bobby and I talked about this, is that process of sanctification. It's that process of being set apart. Being set apart and letting God's Holy Spirit in his supernatural power then change things as we submit, as we come to the altar, as we lay ourselves before the altar as that living sacrifice. God, you know what? There's nothing you cannot do in my life. So many believers get it wrong. And what I mean by that is that they still live by the law. Because it's something you can't do yourself. You can't come and say, well, I'm going to just stop this today. Because then it becomes legalistic. It becomes doing something in your own power, not doing something out of your love relationship with Jesus Christ. And so as we come and we are sorrowful for whatever it is that's going on in our lives, whatever we know that we need to change, it doesn't matter what it is. It could be as simple as being insecure or not trusting. It doesn't have to be some really big big kind of sin, but it can just be, God, I just need to trust you more. As we come, then we allow the Holy Spirit then to saturate us with his power. And what he does is that he overtakes us. He just, before you know it, in that particular area, you are doing better. Because it's not in your strength, it's in his strength that it's done. You want to do better in school, whatever it is, it's not in your strength, it's in God's strength. You want to do better at your job or have more confidence, it's not in your strength, it's in his strength. You want to stop arguing, stop fussing, stop doing certain behaviors, it's what? It's not in your strength, it's in his strength. That's what we do, it's in his strength. Because you know what? Before we know it, we'll be back to doing the same old junk we were doing before. Right? I'm just saying, huh? And jumping through what? Jumping through car windows. And jumping through car windows. Absolutely. God wants to make a difference, but he wants to do it his way and not our way. And so, you know, when you enter into a boxing ring, do you enter into the ring thinking you're not going to be hit? Huh? Not if you have any sense. You don't enter a boxing ring not expecting to be hit. Now, you might dance and you might be Muhammad Ali and you might be a whole bunch of other people, Sugar Ray Leonard, when you enter in that space, but you're going to get hit sometimes. So when you live a life that's holy and pleasing to God, guess what? You're going to get hit sometimes. There are some times where you just going to, you might take a knockout punch sometime. But you know what? What are we supposed to do? Get up and go forward. Get up and go forward. Leave that stuff behind and go forward in Jesus' name. That's what we do. So I don't want to give anybody the impression that this life is an easy life and that there's never going to be a hit. There could be a hit to health. There could be a hit to finances. There could be a hit to family. There could be a hit to a lot of things. But God is a God who can handle all the hits. Amen? He can handle them for you. So, when we become believers, just like I prayed, we begin to look like we ought to be. We begin to look like the people that we ought to be. So all this time, just know, we were big-headed monsters before. But now, God is shaping us to look differently. Who said you can't turn? Are you ready with that website? In a minute, though. Okay, go ahead. Give me the first picture. Okay, so. Just the first one, and then I'll tell you when to move. All right. So, who says you can't turn an old beat-up car into something beautiful? So in 2014, I found this example. A Lithuanian man was tired of his old beat-up Mercedes-Benz CLK and wanted to transform it into something new and exciting. So he refurbished his old car with expandable foam. Yes, foam. He started by covering the exterior, and once the foam hardened, he meticulously carved away at the foam until the lumpy body resembled a sleek sports car. He did the same to the interior, covering the dashboard with foamy, bubbly mess. After hours of meticulous sculpting, the addition of shiny rims and paint job, the rust-gray junker was transformed into a ruby-red muscle car. If you didn't know the car's backstory, you'd probably assume it was the prototype for a new line. Go ahead. Stop there. Stop there. Keep going. Starting to look cool. He's doing the detail work. Headlights. Not finished yet. Here we go, it's coming along. He's working on the interiors. He did a whole lot of stuff, y'all. He had a lot of time on his hands. Just like God does, he has a lot of time on his hands. Amen. Look at that. That's it. Take a look at the exterior and now the back. Wow. That's a lot of work. So you know what? Because of sin, we're all beat up like a junky car. That was my example. We're all beat up like a junky car. But if we truly want to be beautiful and perform like we were intended, we need what? A drastic makeover. Amen? So God is certainly working on each one of us to transform our entire being. So although at some points we might look messy, and we might be covered with foam, and God might be trying to chip away and trying to, you know, get the markers and the precision just right and trying to shine up here and cut off here and do what he can do. What? One day God's going to bring his work to what? Completion. One day he's going to bring that work to completion because God doesn't start what he doesn't finish. He will finish the work. God will finish the work. Amen. Y'all like that picture? Isn't that good? That was really good. So don't you know, God is doing great things to each one of us who let him. Sanctification is fundamental. It's fundamental. Your life must be, you must be set apart in Christ. It's fundamental. It's work, but you'll be blessed because you'll be able to live that life that God wants you to live. Your wife will be blessed. Your family will be blessed. You, the people around you, and plus God's got work for you to do. He's got work for you to do. He's got something for you to do at some point in time. And so he's going to get you there. And then he says, it's your reasonable worship. So it's your reasonable service, or it's your worship. So we live a life that's holy and pleasing to God, which is your worship. Worship is not just raising your hands and singing songs on Sunday. Like we talked about, we talked last week, we talked about this example with Lecrae Moore. And we talked about worship being in every place that God places you. It doesn't matter whether you're singing, whether you're doing art. It doesn't matter whether you're at work, home, wherever you are. Your worship is right there. And what is your worship? It's the way you live your life. So your life then ought to reflect what? It ought to reflect the glory of God. Because when you do, when we're doing, when we're behaving, when we are like God wants us to be, we glorify him. Because we are the creation that he really wants us to be in our behavior. Will we always get it right? No. I don't always get it right. None of us do. But we do what? We pick it up and we do what? We go forward. We pick it up and we go forward and we do what we need to do no matter what situation we're in. And the last part we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on, but transformation. It says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You could spend probably a month on these two verses preaching them. But like that car, we need to be transformed. Our old ways of thinking will be changed in light of now your new roadmap. This is your new roadmap. This is our new way to live. The scriptures give us power to overcome temptation as we memorize and meditate on them. And then the Holy Spirit will begin to what? Lead you to know where I should go and where I shouldn't go. What's acceptable and what's not. What's pleasing and what's not. We have nothing to fear when God is leading us. So you know what? Now that you are a believer, you are in eternity with God. This is just a small, small fraction of eternity. Because life is a small, small fraction. It's just we're here today and what? Gone tomorrow. Just like fading flowers. But to live for God, and to know that he has rewards for you in heaven based on what you're doing here on earth, what a blessing that is. So you don't want any of your gifts left in heaven unopened, amen? You want all of them. I want every last one of them that God has for me. I don't want to leave any gift unopened because I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do, amen? I don't want any. So the charge then to our congregation and to Bobby's family is to really encourage him, to really encourage him, encourage him, encourage his wife, encourage him. You know why? Because, you know, that is that closest relationship that we have on earth other than our relationship to Christ. That's our example. And so it's there that the enemy will attack. I'm just keeping it real. And so you're going to go through some things. And so you just got to keep them lifted up in prayer. Keep them lifted up in prayer. Keep them encouraged. There's some things that you did before that people are not going to understand because you don't want to do them anymore. It just happens. It's not because necessarily you chose it or because you're better. It's because the Holy Spirit is working on the inside. It's what God is doing on the inside. He wants to help you to experience him in the fullest. So, what do we have here for you? We have men's group, second Sunday at 9 o'clock, right? We have men's and fifth Sunday when there's a fifth Sunday at 9 o'clock. Coming to church regularly will help you learn and grow, and we're gonna continue discipleship, amen? We're getting ready to look at the life of Jesus together. I want you to keep praying for me and keep praying for him, because we're gonna continue that cycle. He is doing so great. You all would really, really be proud. And I know, Brianna, you see it. You would really be proud, because God is really doing a work in his life, amen? All right, well, that's our lesson for today. Going forward, I told you I was gonna try to keep it really short. So